Well, today the Federal Coalition will have Craig Thompson in their sights again. Yesterday, the Speaker, Bronwyn Bishop, agreed to a Coalition request to refer the disgraced former MP to the Parliamentary Privileges Committee. Last night, the government gave notice of a motion which will today call on the Federal Parliament to issue an apology to those people accused by Craig Thompson of corruption when he stood in the Parliament under privilege in 2012 and gave that long speech. It will be up to the Privileges Committee to decide if Craig Thompson has misled Parliament in May 2012 when he flatly denied using his union-issued credit card on escort services and other personal expenses. Christopher Pyne is the manager of government business and the Minister for Education. He joins us in our Parliament House studios. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Why should the Federal Parliament say sorry for Craig Thompson's lies?
Because the Parliament, in spite of being criticised over decades for harbouring politicians that sometimes are accused of gilding the lily, does take telling the Parliament the truth very seriously. It is part of our tradition that you mustn't lie to the Parliament. And Craig Thompson's statements to the Parliament, which he then didn't dispute in the court case, suggest that he most grievously misled the Parliament in an attempt to salvage his own political career. He defamed, under parliamentary privilege, people who couldn't respond on their own behalf in the chamber.
And that's why he will be called before the Privileges Committee. I mean, a parliamentary apology is a national event in this country. To the stolen generations, the forced adoptions, the British child migrants, does an HSU official or anybody else, really, malign though they may be, really belong on that list?
Well, I think you're making a quantum leap, Fran, and nobody has suggested that this is an apology along the same lines of the stolen generation except you.
Well, I'm just reading your motion, that this House expresses its regret for the statement, apologises to those individuals named in the speech. I mean, it is an apology from the Federal Parliament, isn't it?
We are apologising on behalf of those, on behalf of the Parliament, for one of our members egregiously misleading the Parliament and telling what appears to be lies in the Parliament, which then, when the court case occurred, he didn't dispute the facts of the case. Now, it wasn't possible for him not to dispute the facts of the case and for that statement that he made in the Parliament to be both true. And as far as we're concerned, the health service union members, who are amongst the poorest workers in the country, were severely ripped off by their national secretary to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, $270,000 of which was used for his re-election campaign, which we believe Labor should pay back if they want to keep faith with the health service union workers, and that's a matter that Bill Shorten will need to answer for. But I don't think you need to elevate this motion to the same status of the stolen generation. I think that is a massive exaggeration, and it would be peculiar if, because we made an apology to the stolen generation, we could never, ever again express regret without it being compared to that apology.
No, but wouldn't it be peculiar too if the Parliament now expresses statements of regret and apologies? And these words do have a particular place in the lexicon of the Parliament to every person who misleads somebody in the Parliament. I mean, you've included, as I say again, we have the privilege committee for that. Craig Thompson will be referred to the Privileges Committee, which is, you know, how these things are done. You've included in this apology the spending of $267,000 or more than that, actually, of those HSU members' funds on Craig Thompson's re-election campaign. Again, to apologise for that in this way rather than just refer it to the Privileges Committee, is this an attempt to draw Labor and Bill Shorten into this debate again?
I think it's an entirely appropriate response of a parliament that wants to put behind it the three hideous years of the hung parliament under Labor, when Craig Thompson's vote was kept by Labor. They paid $350,000 worth of his legal fees in order to keep his vote, and Senator Dastyari admitted as much in the newspapers. They suborned Peter Slipper to move from the Liberal Party to the speakership in order to remove that vote from the coalition. This was a very tawdry parliament, and this apology motion expressing regret to the Health Service Workers Union and apologising to those people defamed under parliamentary privilege is an appropriate response for a parliament that wants to be taken seriously and wants the people to understand that we believe lying to the parliament is unacceptable.
Again, Minister, and I will move off this, but just to, you talked about the hung parliament and this being an element of that. There was a time, of course, when the Howard government for a while relied on the vote of Mal Costin, former Labor, then independent senator. He was found guilty of rorting. The Senate never apologised, that I can recall, for him rorting his entitlements. This is a new behaviour for the Parliament. Is this going to be the new standard?
Well, Fran, precedents are the very nature of a precedent is that it's done for the first time. Now, in 1955, two journalists were jailed, Fitzpatrick and Brown, by the Parliament. It's never happened since.
So it's a new standard you're setting here.
It happened once, but it was a precedent. And this is an apology which we think is appropriate. Just because it hasn't been done in this circumstance before doesn't mean it should never be done.
The Privileges Committee can impose jail terms of up to 6 months and fines of up to $5,000 if a breach of privilege is found. Is that what the government wants to see if Craig Thompson is found guilty of a breach of privileges and misleading the Parliament?
Well, that is very much a matter for the Privileges Committee, and I wouldn't want to comment on their deliberations. This motion is quite a separate aspect of this issue. The Privileges Committee had a referral yesterday to it, a motion that I moved, which was supported by the Labor Party. It wasn't quite, as Tony Burke put it, they supported it last time and they'll support it this time. In fact, they didn't oppose it last time. But nevertheless, the Privileges Committee will investigate this matter. They will then recommend sanctions if they decide that there has been a deliberate misleading of the House, which is within their gift to decide, and then the Parliament will act on those recommendations.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 minutes to 8. We're speaking with Education Minister and the Manager of Government Business, Christopher Pyne. Minister, in your own portfolio, you've promised no education cuts before the election. Now the Prime Minister has signalled very clearly there will be cuts to education spending in the long term. Where are you going to cut?
Well, Fran, that's not what he said. I read the speech. He said that there would be, that the current growth in education and health expenditure was unsustainable, and that is true. Labor has been spending massively beyond our means for the last 6 years. He didn't flag that there'd be any cuts to health and education.
He said we must reduce the rate of spending growth in the
Correct.
Longer term. That,
exactly,
will that suggest
right.
things will have to be cut to do
no,
that,
it doesn't.
Doesn't it?
It suggests that the growth in health and education spending needs to be arrested.
Okay,
and
so what does that mean? Exactly, what will be limited to do that?
It means rather than what Labor has done for the last 6 years, which is grasp every idea floating past and fund it with borrowed taxpayers' money, we will be much more careful about how we spend taxpayers' money. And that's what we were elected to do.
Does that Labor's mean the money set without. Aside, for instance, to match the Better Schools funding model will be reduced after the next 3 years?
Labor's left us with $123 billion of accumulated deficits, a debt rising to $667 billion, Fran. It's not possible, simply isn't possible, for the economy to keep absorbing that massive level of debt and deficit that Labor envisaged.
I understand that, Minister. I'm just wondering what you see will change then.
Well, we've already indicated that we have found $1.2 billion that Bill Shorten ripped out of the school funding model for the next 4 years, and I delivered the national school funding model by bringing Western Australia, Northern Territory and Queensland into a model that they weren't part of. So we've already added $1.2 billion to education, Fran. We're not cutting it, we've added it.
All right, Minister, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure.
Christopher Pyne is the Federal Education Minister and the Manager of Government Business.